And now a poem in memory of Julia Vinograd from one of her many books. The book is called Detours, and the poem is called Life. We are only shadows of life. Life is not the opposite of death. Life is the opposite of us. We are only strings holding the giant cartoon balloon life in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade and never looking up to see what it looks like. The night before we went to meet the one we love, neither of us said anything, but we knew. We looked in the mirror and saw a bright red pimple perched on our upper lip, and that was death. It seems silly looking back. Can we make all death seem silly looking back? Because life has a longer look. Not our lives that stop at our skin, but life itself that never stops. Life is bigger than death, and yes, more dangerous, because it wants more from us than we can imagine. Love is only the first step on a ladder of stars. Death wants nothing and only gives nothing and says nothing is worthwhile because we die. Life makes us more real than we can handle and handles us as if we're just beginning to breathe. Life is too much, and only too much is enough. Here's another one called Blues from the same book. Blues gets drunk on our tears, and when he's drunk enough, he sings, like any other fool who's had one too many. He sings our hurts we swear aren't there. We try to deny, but there's Blues, belting at the top of his lungs, swaying a little on his feet, because our tears are so beautiful he's got to have more. Blues is the man on the moon, and they never throw him out. There's no water on the moon except for our tears, and our tears make a soft touch grow till we catch our breath and cover our ears, then our fingers slip away. Welcome to the other side of sorrow. Finally, here's another one, Learning. Time to unlearn. There are no strangers. Close your eyes and reach out your hands till other hands clasp yours like a string of paper dolls circling the horizon. If you all walk at once, you can climb up to the stars, so much closer than you were taught. Time to unlearn. All the maps are wrong. There are no lines on the earth. The wind blows anywhere without a passport. The only compass is Jack, Captain Jack Sparrow's, that points to heart's desire. What good is north to your dreams? Time to unlearn. The only enemy is in your mirror. Stroke faces like the blind do until they smile like a cat purrs. Time to unlearn. Clocks wait for you to move at your own pace and tell your own secrets. Hold the hands of your wristwatch till its pulse matches yours. When you were a child, you knew the world began when you were born. Trees talked to you, and in the bath, your soapy shoulder blades ached to be wings, and they told you no and said they knew better. But it's time to unlearn. Anything is possible, and only a breath away. And I tell you, yes, oh yes. From Detours by Julia Vinograd, a book she published 9 years ago. No, actually, she published it 2 years ago, in 2017. I thought it was an older book. And in case you were wondering when I was going to pop this commercial or this appeal, yes, we're still looking for studio space, 10 by 10. Yes, we're willing to pay a $300 reward if you can find us a space that we can rent for a year. We will pay you less for a lesser amount of time. It has to have electricity. It has to have internet. It has to have access to a bathroom. And we hope it's near a transportation line that people can use who don't have vehicles, who are broadcasters. Give me a call at 423-4833, and I'll pass the word on to the collective. That's 423-4833, or go online to freakradio.org. We're also looking for a transmitter site, a place to put up our antenna. That's a little more dodgy, but it's important because that's the way we can get back on the actual air again. Right now, we are simply on the internet, which is something, but not the same as being actually out there on the airwaves. 423-4833, freakradio.org, a reward of $300. So think about it. And now back to the Red Church from last Monday, where we were before.
Traveling. you've lost property in the last week. Raise your hand if you've lost property. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Anybody over here lose property? 6, 7, 8, 9. Thank you. Just wondering. 10. Sorry. Got you. We're having a meeting again of Conscience in Action on Wednesday. If you want to come drink coffee next to the bike church, 11 o'clock Wednesday, Sub Rosa Cafe. You get free coffee and free jabber. That's what we do. Theory is to figure out stuff about civil rights for poor people, what to do next. There's still a lawsuit going on defending the Ross camp. People who got kicked out, and by extension, other people who are getting fucked with on the streets. Say again?
I said they've been letting them get their stuff over at 10 City.
They were until noon today, actually. That was the deadline. Unless they're extending it. I hadn't heard that they're extending it. I heard they're bulldozing a lot of stuff up there. But, I mean, you know, they should be letting you get your stuff. But I don't know that they are. Anyway, 11 o'clock Wednesday, if you're interested. Also, if you like to throw things at the city council, they're meeting all day tomorrow and the next day in special budget hearings starting at 9 o'clock at City Hall. So, just thought I'd let you know that that's where the people who destroyed the Ross camp by vote are meeting. Tomorrow starting at 9 and Wednesday starting at 9. They're meeting at City Hall right across from the library where they usually do. City Council Chambers. That's it for now. Thank you. Is it true you're opening up a campground here on the grass?
We're here. We're camping.
Oh, right. You're going to direct the sexton to lay off the people for a while or not?
No. I don't have any authority over him.
And this is me talking outside with former pastor Father Joel Miller, who used to be the big cheese at the Calvary Episcopal, where they have their weekly Monday meal, which is pretty tasty. But they unfortunately also have this sextant, this sort of security guard guy named Steve, who walks around demanding people not talk on the property, but go to the sidewalk, stopping people from taking plates of food out if they have someone they're taking food to or they want to take some food with them, demanding people not have conversations outside, even though there's no need to be quiet. And there, it's regularly an hour between 6 and 7 where people gather. He really pisses me off, and I've talked about him before, and I'm kind of suggesting to Joel Miller that he tell Sexton Steve to stop doing this, although I think Miller claims he no longer has any power in the church, that there's a new church boss, and he's just a visitor.
We have moral authority.
No, I don't think so.
Particularly with that cap.
You like that?
I think it's very jaunty. So what's your analysis of latest doings in Santa Cruz around, well, the people who, let's say, have been dumped on the streets at the Rice camp? Or do you have any thoughts on that?
Relative sobriety.
Feel there's a lot of suffering.
I'm not real
hard, for sure.
And,
well, I don't see a lot of people here today. It's interesting.
It's the first
year of the month.
That's what I'm saying.
It's different ways. Because I'm 65.
Anyway, I don't have so much to say.
You always have something to say.
What the world needs now is love.
Well, I was going to tell Cynthia Matthews that, but for some reason she rarely pays attention to me. Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
Nah, you probably can, actually. And we've been talking with
Joel Miller.
And Cynthia Matthews, of course, was the woman who owns property across the street who persuaded the church to, she filed a church lawsuit against Miller because he was holding these meals every Monday. And also, I think he also had it was a youth ministry that was run by Renee, who eventually returned to simply serving food on the streets for people. And I saw her again out at the Ross camp. She showed up there right before the Ross camp closed. Anyway, Miller had to pay $25,000 in attorney fees to defend himself in ecclesiastical court. If you're interested in that issue, it's on Santa Cruz Indie Media in a story by Becky Johnson. You can also find it on Becky Johnson's website. She's an activist with HUF. Her website is Becky Johnson, One Woman Talking. And if you browse for Cynthia Matthews and Joel Miller, you'll probably find that old story, which is what I was referring to when I sort of codged him about Cynthia Matthews. Cynthia Matthews has also been a mayor of Santa Cruz and is currently on the city council and heads the right-wing majority or minority, or it's a minority except it controls the city manager and seems to exercise great influence over the swing vote of Justin Cummings.
Thank you, Joel.
Yeah.
Who's this guy with the glasses? Are he with the highway patrol? I don't know.
I got nothing to say about nothing.
Well, that's taciturn of you.
I'm invisible.
You were in black, too.
Scott Galloway.
You're not invisible. I saw your picture in the newspaper.
I've been around.
I got to take off.
Scott Galloway works for the Association of Faith Communities. He's part of the Red Church volunteers, and we are kind of batting the conversational ball back and forth.
And I
take care of me.
Are you the bread guy? Or the bread guy?
You're plotting with Lee over there to bomb the police.
I am prepared to bomb every police station everywhere. That's my
terrible.
Plan.
That's terrible.
Well, provided that
police are.
And what we're talking about here is there was Lee Myers is a an occasionally outspoken activist who he goes his own way and he's very concerned about. Well, he has a legalistic bent, but he also believes in direct action, and he's, I think an explosion out at the Ross camp a day or two before it closed. Maybe it was even on the day it was closing. It was a small explosion. I think it was some kind of Roman candle that went off or didn't go off, or a little rocket. That's what Lee told me later. I wasn't around when this happened. But Lee was suspected of, because he denounces police and talks kind of quite candidly about, I don't know about blowing up or burning down police stations, but a violent defensive response to police abuse. And he doesn't do it. I've never seen any indication that he's ever done it. But he's quite outspoken in suggesting that it's as I perceive what he says, it's a just and appropriate response to police violence. I could be wrong about my interpretation. So if FBI is listening, don't take my word for it. It's just one person's analysis.
Friends.
Yeah, they always have been my buddies.
Yeah.
But I get angry with them every now and then, you know.
Well, everybody gets angry.
This is me talking with Scott Galloway and Phil Posner, both of whom are sort of religious volunteers with the Calvary Episcopal Church. Phil serves bagels, as well as, of course, being a conscience and action activist and a rabbi himself. And Scott he was formerly manager or director of the Metro, and since then he's been, I've known him as an individual who volunteers at the Red Church.
By the way, for those listening on the broadcast,
you scared him away, by the way.
It looks like Joel Miller is leaving in his vehicle. He is allowed to park here, whereas I understand other people are discouraged from parking in this lot. Is that true, sir? I think you're with the Association of Faith Communities.
No, I'm not with the Association of Faith Communities. I'm with Calvary Episcopal Church.
Yeah, well, that's one of the Association of Faith Communities.
Well, they are a member, yes. The situation at Calvary is, if there are organizations that are renting the rooms and meeting here, we ask only that the group leaders park here. Otherwise, the church is restricted to people who have parking stickers to park here. So if you need a parking sticker, you can talk to people in the office. We have some people who are parking here under arrangements.
How many people per night would you say get to sleep in their vehicles here?
Because zero. Zero.
Why is that?
Calvary is not participating at this point in the Safe Spaces parking program.
Is there usually vacant spaces here at night?
There should be, yes.
Are there, when you walk by at night,
be, except for the trailer and truck on the end there, which is...
So in other words, the church keeps a parking lot completely vacant. For what reason? Remind me again, I'm missing the point.
There's an ongoing supervision here. We have security come through regularly. and security tries to keep it that way. However, the lot next door is open all night.
And it is, it's not a city lot, it's a Calvary lot, right?
But the property belongs to Calvary Episcopal Church, it's leased to the city, but there are discussions going on now between the Association of Faith Communities and the city and Calvary regarding a possibility of overnight parking.
Well, why is that lot open all night and this one is not? I mean, I don't quite understand.
Well, there's no, I mean...
There's no reason to rhyme
to it. Some words blue and some words are black and some birds are brown. And
what a bunch of horseshit. I'm sorry, sir. You have failed at the exam here. You are back of the class.
I don't set
the answer is...
I don't know.
Oh, you know nothing. You're not responsible. I think I've heard that kind of excuse.
No, there's actually a committee that's had to do with the parking lot.
There is a committee.
There's a committee.
Yes.
Has to do with all the parking regulations related to the lot.
So talk to the committee is what you're saying.
Parking sticker. Well, you can appeal to the committee.
Appeal to the committee.
If you have a parking sticker, you're entitled. It'll park here. If you don't, you don't. On Monday night, it's kind of hands off. So on Monday night, we have coffee house. People can park here. Penn University folks park here.
I perceive the sexton going after people who park here. In fact, you saw that last week.
No.
That was another issue.
Earlier today, we saw that.
Oh, I didn't see that.
We have an issue that if you're here, you can park and come and enjoy the program.
Right.
But we don't want people in their cars doing activities during the coffee house. If you want to be on the property, go to coffee house. You can park your car here and go.
So in other words, you must forcibly attend religious services or get the fuck out.
No, we don't want people lingering in their cars or on the grounds.
Because lingering is a dangerous thing?
Well, we had problems with drug sales going on here at one point. And for
anybody who lingers is ipso facto a criminal, that sort of thing?
No, but what happens is when you have lots of people lingering, then it's an opportunity for people to come in and do stuff and be relatively hidden by this pure mass of people.
It gives Steve a nice chance to berate the next person who happens to be parking their vehicle here.
And by Steve, I mean the Steve the sexton. There is another Steve around. There's Steve Pledge, who doles out the bagels. And then there's an activist Steve who's eats the bagels. I mean, there are probably other Steves too, but the guy I'm talking about is Sexton Steve, the sort of the soup Nazi, as he's called, who stops people from taking food out and who harasses people who park on the property or linger in their vehicles and park on the property. I guess it's what the Scott Galloway is telling us.
There was an altercation earlier. Well, yeah, there's an altercation earlier. Over.
He's being patient with me.
Yeah, there.
He's
yeah.
the guy who's part of a group that's running people out of here, and when there's vacant spaces.
Well, I told the gentleman he's welcome to come back and have dinner, and they did, I believe, come back and have dinner.
That's good.
And he just couldn't, they couldn't loiter in the vehicles.
Loiter.
We allow healthy people
loitering. You know, loitering laws were all ruled illegal in this country, at least on public property. Are you hearkening back to the 30s or the 20s? I mean,
30s, did you like the 30s? I wasn't around.
See what I mean?
I loved
them. He loved the 30s.
I was born in 38.
Yeah. Well, that... No, he wasn't around. He was 2 years old, man. Blitz. Come on. Absolutely. He was a baby at that time.
I loved it.
He loved it.
So here's a guy who likes these medieval regulations and actually supports them and says, go to the committee if you have a problem. There are loitering problems. There are drug problems. You sound like the city council.
You don't mention that he's also feeding people who...
Once a fucking week.
That's better than nothing, man.
Not that much better, buddy. Sorry. Try living on one meal a week and see how...
I don't see you feeding everybody on one meal a week.
Try living on one meal a week. Huh?
That's not enough. You got a better suggestion?
Don't believe a word he says.
That's what I would. I wouldn't believe it.
Just putting egg on bagels.
Yeah, I don't see you feeding people.
One meal a week. You're not answering, Phil. Is that going to survive on one meal a week? Okay, then let's get real.
Why don't you open a place?
Let's get real. Why don't you, Phil?
Because
you're too busy selling your books.
I'm living.
The man's a profiteer. He's all over town with his books.
I'm
on his bike, I might add.
Nothing wrong with
it. Where's your dog?
All right.
I don't see any dog around here.
He's fucking homeless activist, man.
I wish I were fucking more, but, you know, times are hard. It's a difficult thing.
I suppose you guys are in such good spirits.
Yesterday, him, obnoxious Robert, he couldn't have been nicer at the Salvation Army.
Really?
Yeah, he was, you know, talking to Eric, the director. He was conciliatory.
This is at this camp now, the new camp?
He knew pseudo camp.
But Robert was really cool.
Well, I have my hopes for Salvation Army managing that camp. I think that'll be a good thing, don't you?
I don't. Robert and I and Alicia are trying to get a meeting with Captain Harold because we think it's being run like a prison.
Lay on Ricardo.
When I was in prison, people could come and visit me. Yeah. And when I was a chaplain, I served in the chaplain. I've gone into county jails as a chaplain. They wouldn't allow me to go in as a chaplain in that place.
Oh, is that right?
So we're going to, well, now maybe Captain Harold will acquiesce.
Well,
yeah, which we hope. I called him today and tried
to make an appointment.
They serve two meals a day to those people there. Now, what's your problem?
Well, I got to say that the AFC is also serving two meals a day. No, one meal a day, excuse me.
One meal a week.
One meal, SC is serving one meal a night at the PFW hall. Every night for the people who stay in the winter shelter.
If you can get up there, get past the one, tote all your stuff there. That's true. There's a number of obstacles.
What do you suggest?
What's your idea?
Yeah, leave the people alone where they are, first of all. That's the first thing you do. Stop running them around.
How are they going to eat if you leave them alone?
Yeah. And here's an example, someone who's not leaving people. Okay. Here's an example right now of someone who's not being left alone. This man is driving people off this area. That is what the police do. This is not a sanctuary. I'm talking about the way people are treated. That's what I'm talking about.
And I'm referring to Sexton Steve, who was telling people to get off the property, even as the three of us chattered away, but of course ignored us because, you know, we are the privileged, I don't know, elders or something.
I thought we were talking about
food. No, we're talking about a number of things, actually. You said
we should leave people alone. And well, if we leave people alone, there's gonna be a lot of people, hungry people.
This guy is he's gone to too much sophistry classes.
He's right.
I think what we need to do is leave him alone and see what happens. Actually, the reality is, as I said, they're using the same police tactics here, and you're allowing it to happen.
Same police tactics?
Yeah, they just drove all those people onto the sidewalk. You didn't notice?
God, that's
guy's
terrible.
Blind as a bat. I don't know what the story
is
here.
That is terrible.
Yeah, you just doesn't give a shit. He's got a big smile on his face.
People.
Yeah, you don't care. You don't care that people are driven away from
here.
No, you don't care that that's happening. No one's being fed now. No one will be fed for the next week. No one will be fed. No one will be fed for the next week here. So don't give me any shit, please.
Well, at least they're being fed tonight.
At least they're being fed tonight. One meal a week.
You have a suggestion?
What do you think? Come on, use your head, man.
What's your suggestion?
What's your suggestion? How many meals a day do you eat?
I'm a fortunate guy. I even have a roof.
How many meals a day do you eat?
Three.
Well, wouldn't you think that everybody might need that?
I totally agree with you.
No, you don't. You think this is just fine and wonderful that they're doing one meal a week. Didn't you just say that? Maybe I don't want to misquote you.
Oh, so I didn't understand that. So you have the gall to suggest.
I have the gall.
To suggest that it's not good enough for them to do one night. They should be doing one meal every night.
Well, three meals a day, you suggest.
I say it is nothing to brag about doing one meal a week. And your
attempt to brag,
you're the one who's bragging, sir.
You're admiring them for their wonderful
work for doing one meal a week.
Yeah.
And serving 20 people.
You know why? Because that's better.
One night a week. Well, great God.
Let me finish. What about all the churches that ain't doing nothing?
We're talking about the church right here that's doing that little bit.
Why don't you admire them for doing
what
they're
doing? Why don't we admire 1220 River for letting all those wonderful people in?
People here from many churches. This is a Calvary effort, and Calvary gets the funds together to make it happen. But there are people here from a wide variety of churches and synagogues.
That's a good point.
People here meaning one day a week. Yeah.
Well,
fine. Thank you very much. We've been talking with
Cookie Scott.
And with.
I ain't telling my name.
His name is Phil. I'm not going to tell you. He should be ashamed of his last name after this latest.
Hoshea ben Yitzhak Bahama.
There you go. And he talks in these weird foreign tongues. I know nothing about that. Thank you, guys.
Take care now.
All right. Skippy. Anything you want to say, Skippy, as a final?
Mr. Adams, I'll see you on Tuesday, or a Tuesday, in City Council. And we'll have a whole group of...
Tomorrow is a city council meeting starting at 9 o'clock.
Oh, Mr. Adams, I'll be there with my peoples.
I have no idea if he'll be there, but...
Who knows, special appearance with his disrespectful self. But I am taking over your program, sir, and you need to leave town. Because I'm going to do my own little thingy, and you're going to be flushed out.
And we'll be covering it every step of the way. We've been talking with...
Skippy.
One more time. Thank you, Skippy.
And to conclude the current news section of this broadcast, here's a song called The Butcher's Tale by The Zombies, Western Front 1914, written by Chris White, first released on the 1968 album Odyssey and Oracle. Based on an incident from World War I, a subject in which White took an interest. The lyrics tell of a battle from the viewpoint of a soldier in the midst of the fight. Despite the title, the battle White had in mind when writing the lyrics occurred in 1916, and the Bee Gees' 67 song, New York Mining Disaster 1941, was apparently an inspiration for the serious tone of the song. Alex Paleo calls the song a thinly disguised comment on Vietnam, and here's the song. You miss them, the lyrics to Butcher's Tale, Western Front 1914, go like this. A butcher, yes, that was my trade, but the king's shilling is now my fee. A butcher I may as well have stayed for the slaughter that I see. And the preacher in his pulpit sermon, go and fight, do what is right. But he don't have to hear these guns, and I bet he sleeps at night. And I can't stop shaking. My hands won't stop shaking. My arms won't stop shaking. My mind won't stop shaking. I want to go home. Please let me go home. Go home. And I've seen a friend of mine hang on the wire like some rag toy. Then in the heat, the flies come down and cover up the boy. And the flies come down to Gama Court, Thepaval, Mammoth's Wood, and French Verdun. If the preacher, he could see those flies, wouldn't preach for the sound of guns. And I can't stop shaking. My hands won't stop shaking. My arms won't stop shaking. My mind won't stop shaking. I want to go home. Please let me go home. go home. Actually, before we go, I'm going to tack on the an interview with Alicia Kuhl, which was recorded on the 9th, which was, gosh, it was last Thursday. I don't think we had an opportunity to get it on the show at that time. We do a Thursday night show, for those who don't know, 6 to 8. But here it is now, and then we're going to launch into a flashback for all you old history buffs and longbeards who remember those days, or perhaps some of you more recent folks who maybe could benefit from looking back to those days.
Vouchers, they were told.
Oops, well, let's not go into the middle. Let's begin at the beginning.
All right, so I'm on the line with Alicia Kuhl, who's been working in the past with the Ross Camp folks as a liaison. She's an organizational plaintiff for the lawsuit that is seeking damages for the Ross Camp closure. And she's also been involved in the struggle for RV rights because she lives in her vehicle with her family. Hello, Alicia.
Hello, Robert.
Greetings. So you are sort of planning, I guess, to head for San Jose tomorrow. Today's, you're doing this recording on Thursday around noon, to get a transcript of the court hearing?
Yes, that is correct. And also to go over some recent evidence that has been collected.
About what issue and what kind of evidence?
Well, the issue that the city does not have adequate shelter, and the issue that people have not been treated according to what they said would happen when we were at court.
And what promises have been made and broken as far as you're concerned?
Well, they said that everybody at the Ross encampment would be offered adequate shelter alternatives, that being a couple available shelters, and as well as anybody who didn't meet the criteria or who was not able to get into those shelters would get motel vouchers, and that actually turned out to be incorrect. There are several people that asked for motel vouchers who did not receive them. There are several people who were promised motel vouchers for 5 days and then an extension, and that did not happen. Several people got 2 days. Several people did not get an extension. Several people were promised an extension, and it came about on a Sunday, and nobody was available at the city to renew them. So there were all kinds of issues.
Well, this was a large number of people at the Ross Camp, Alicia, and I'll be devil's advocate here. This is free stuff that these people are getting. These are people who aren't paying into the city anything. They aren't providing any labor to the city for anything. They are, some regard them as a questionable population. Some perhaps recently arrived, not necessarily all of them, but some of them, who, you know, what the fuck does the city owe them, Alicia, that they should, you know, if they're getting any kind of voucher, shouldn't they be grateful?
Well, these are members of our community. Most of them are local. So I feel like we could actually do better than we have done. It's not that they're entitled. It's that we can do better as a community to serve the needs of our most vulnerable population right now. I mean, we are a wealthy community. We should be doing better.
And, of course, there is the argument as the devil's advocate against the devil's advocate, I would say. You know, they had an encampment to which they were driven by the police department, many of them, and, you know, this happened when a previous encampment promises made that would continue till April, the River Street Boneyard campground was shut down in last October, even though it was supposed to go till April of this year. That failure, plus the failure of the winter shelter program to continue even at the inadequate level it had been going at the year before. Therefore, people were kind of forced into the Ross Camp or when they tried to camp on the beaches or over at the Depot Park area, even before the Depot Park became an issue at the city council. They were driven by, people told me this directly, by police officers or Parks and Rec rangers to the Ross Camp area. Then in the Ross Camp area,
they were told they would not be moved until, or they would not have to leave until there was adequate shelter for them to go to. This was voted by a majority of the city council, and they were given different eviction dates that were moved ahead because the city majority, somewhat reluctantly, Justin Cummings, kicking and screaming and dragged along, it almost felt like, or maybe wavering around back and forth, not sure what the hell he was thinking. Or, you know, one minute he's under the wing or the claws of Watkins, Bernal, and Cynthia Matthews. The next minute, you know, he's listening to the people that elected him and to the folks. Although I get the feeling he hasn't really been listening much to us. I had one long, long evening with him at the Saturn Cafe, and he just, you know, he wanted to believe that there were good resources coming from the county that had to be compromised with in order to get that money, and that get that money you got to do it and got to do what they say and close the Ross camp. So anyway, there was all this vacillation. Here I am with my very endless devil's advocate versus devil's advocate stuff and arguments that you perhaps might have, I think, also spoken about in the past. That they set up the Ross camp, they set these people up there, and then they promised that they would not be moved and or not be forced to move until they had adequate shelter, and then they didn't provide it. Are you suggesting first they said they were going to do it? I remember not only are you saying that their vouchers were, you know, sometimes not available, sometimes not extended, and I heard most recently from one of the folks, Maggie, that they were being kicked out if they had visitors to their rooms. If their mm-hmm. if her son visited,
Maggie is now sleeping in her vehicle because she was not extended anything past a 2-day motel voucher. Maggie Rochelle. That is correct. And as well as I heard from Kelly Knight, that they were told by the people who run that motel that you cannot have visitors there, even room-to-room visitors, because Maggie needed to speak to Kelly about something and went to knock on her door, and she was approached, I guess, by the management there, who told her that you can call, but you cannot visit room-to-room, which I thought was really bizarre. And I remember I stayed at that hotel, which is actually kind of a grungy hotel, I might add. This is Motel Santa Cruz.
It's at the corner of Ocean and Broadway, for those.
Right, also known as Santa Cruz Motel. But I stayed there, and they never told me any such thing. And I was curious, you know, if you're like a tourist, and sometimes people need more than one hotel room to accommodate their family. And so I can't imagine purchasing two hotel rooms for my whole entire large family or gathering and not being able to go from room to room to visit, you know, the guests that I paid for. That doesn't make any sense. I think that was probably specifically done for them because they're homeless people.
Well, that could well be the case. In fact, that probably is the case. It reminds me of what Angel told me that happened out at the barbecue that you and others and Keith McHenry set up to help folks get together, maybe find an alternate campground last week before the Ross Camp closed out at the Memorial Garden at Harvey West, which was that people an hour or two before dusk who were homeless were being told they'd have to leave at dusk, whereas the other folks in the area who are also relaxing and camping who were not visibly homelessly and weren't carrying tents and backpacks, we're not given that kind of instruction, according to Angel.
And and according to me, I asked him, I said, this is kind of offensive. Do you walk up to everybody, you know, who's having a barbecue or anybody at the park and tell them that in force like you are? I don't think you do.
Now, were you present when these instructions were given?
What's that?
Were you present up at Harvey West when this happened?
Yes, it was our barbecue that we were doing, and in fact, I walked with him because I saw them when they were headed towards the barbecue. They were kind of doing this from all angles thing, and I walked with one of the officers.
How many cops were there?
Kind of down the street. I walked with them. I said, why are the police headed to our barbecue?
How many cops were there?
Three or four.
And what did they tell you?
Well, they started out with, you're not supposed to be in this area. This area is for reservation only.
And to which you replied?
I replied, we are not cooking. The guy already came by and told us not to use the barbecue, but he didn't say anything about sitting on the bench. So I'm going to go by we're not cooking over here, we're fine.
To which they replied,
kind of backed off a little bit, but stood there and made sure that we knew that the park was closing in a few hours.
And how did they make you sure that, make sure that you knew that?
Oh, well, he kept saying it. Well, you all know that the park's closing in a few hours. It closes at dark. You all will be gone from here, right? And he kept repeating it and looking at everyone.
Now, so there were only four officers, not ten, as I've been told earlier.
No, there were ten.
But you said four before. Did more come up, or what happened with that?
Well, there was like, I don't know, four plus maybe a few rangers, but not ten.
I gotcha. The other thing that I was told yesterday at the Huff Conscience and Action meetings was that not only were these bizarre homeless-only restrictions put upon the residents of the temporary residents who got vouchers for the temporary at the Santa Cruz Motel, but also when they came back with the extra with the vouchers, they were told there were no vacancies, and then when they called in later, pretending to be housed people looking for vacancies, they were told there were vacancies. So, now, I wasn't present for any of these conversations, but what do you make of that?
Well, that was actually, part of that was what you just said, was even reported to our city council member, Drew Glover, because after Sunday, I spoke with, of course, we couldn't get a hold of anybody on Sunday to renew the two-day motel voucher that Kelly Knight, but Kelly was contacted on Monday, and her motel voucher was renewed. Maggie's wasn't, but Kelly's was, and so that's what I mean by I don't know how they're determining who gets what and favoritism. I have no idea, but anyways, Kelly's was, but Maggie's wasn't, and so when Kelly went to go and actually get her room, the management told her that now there are no vacancies. And so she called me in kind of a state of panic, not knowing what to do, in which I called Drew. And then I left Drew Maggie's number to contact Kelly, and so they continued to contact each other throughout the day. But it's my knowledge that it never was solved, but that if you go online the whole time while this was happening, that they were still advertising, like, rooms for rent.
Hmm. But you don't know that anyone actually called in and asked for a room and was told, oh, there's a room available, when they hadn't revealed whether they were homeless or not.
Well, not that I know of, but I believe her. If she said that she did that and checked online and pretended to be someone else, they probably did do that.
Hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't, after everything I've seen and heard, I wouldn't dispute that happened.
So do you know, you mentioned Drew Glover, the council member. I know you used to hold Monday meetings with him and the Ross Camp folks back in the day before the Ross Camp was bulldozed away and all the property, or most of it, left there destroyed. I witnessed that myself a couple of days ago. Have you had much contact with Glover, and what's been your assessment of his behavior subsequent to the closing of the Ross Camp?
Side of, you know, our most vulnerable and unhoused population, that he's still trying to do whatever he can. I have not been able to, I know he's really busy, and there's been, you know, the last couple days, those budget meetings, so I haven't been able to get a new meeting with him and find out any updates and, you know, where we can go from here, but I know he's open to that. He is on the side of the vulnerable. I don't feel like he's one of the, you know, corrupt members of city council like some of the other ones, so I still feel real good about Drew, but he is just one voice, you know, one heart, one body. We need more people to do what's right, not just Drew.
Hear you. I'm going to pause the recording. On the recording again, I understand Conscience in Action and Huff have decided to have a sort of a demonstration, protest, press conference on Monday at 11, and maybe a little before. Maybe a little food for folks who are hungry that time of the morning, in front of the Ross Camp, the River Street.
The River Camp.
The River Camp, thank you, at 1220 River Street, which is, of course, the barbed wire boneyard place that they used as one of their pretexts for getting rid of the Ross Camp, and that is now filled to the brim with little one-man pup tents that could be getting very warm in the summer. I suspect they will get
probably have to pass hot dogs through that fence there.
Or at least popsicles, something, you know, to cool people off. So that's going to be, I would say people might want to show up at 10 or 10:30, but the actual press conference is supposed to begin at 11. That's my understanding. You can get more information by checking with the Food Not Bombs folks at between 4 and 6 on Saturdays and Sundays, and there should be flyers circulating around. Anything you want to add, Alicia?
No, nope. Sounds good.
Hey.
I'll be there Monday at 11.
Hey, and I will too. I'll talk to you then, or even soon.
All right. Come see us, everybody.
Bye-bye.